So Sower Sows the Word. I'm calling it the Dirt Series, all righty? And I would like to do a recap for those of you that weren't able to be here, or, you know, sometimes you got to do the directions a couple of times to get it, right? So open up your Bibles to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. We're going to spend a lot of time there today and the next week, okay? The reason why I'm going to do a recap is because this builds upon layer upon layer upon layer. So you got to get this. You got to get this. Praise God. So here we go. On the same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the sea, sitting at the beach. Oh, Jesus, thank you. Okay. And a great multitude were gathered together to him, so that he got into the boat and he sat. And the whole multitude stood on the shore. Then he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, behold. Okay, we said that means, hey, look, you all, look, I have something that you need to see. And you know, some days, just maybe, you don't see everything Jesus sees. Okay, so he's saying, hey, look, you need to see this. So let's keep going. Behold, a sower went out to sow, and he sowed. Some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Verse 5, some fell on stony ground, where they had not much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. Verse 6, but when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Verse 7, and some fell among the thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them, but others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some hundredfold, some 60, some 30. Verse 9, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Okay, so he's got this whole bunch sitting around and they're listening, and he's going, hey, he who has ears to hear, let him hear, because some of y'all are sitting here listening, but you ain't hearing. So he's saying, hey, you need to have ears to hear, all right? So he goes on and talks about that, but I like that part. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Now, this parable is Jesus' first parable that he's writing in the Bible, in the Gospels. It's also found in Luke chapter 8 and Mark chapter 4. And a lot of times he'll say this thing, hey, take heed how you hear. Or how about, hey, pay attention to how you pay attention. Pay attention how you pay attention. Now, anybody have teens and you walk in and they're doing a game or they're watching TV and you start giving them some directions, some instructions, okay? And they think if they just turn their head, they think that you'll think that they're paying attention. But I know that they're not paying attention, right? How many of you found out? And some of them, dang, so smart. They'll repeat the directions back to you. But I know they really didn't hear because they didn't do it, right? So you think they're hearing, but we know they're not hearing because they're not doing it. And listen, Jesus talks a lot about people that hear the word. They hear the word. They hear the word, but they're not doing it. James chapter 1, verse 22. Look at that, or it'll pop it up. It says, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. What? Moi? Deceived? Be doers of the word. So we need to be a doer of the word. If you want to, you should be hearing the word. And then he's saying you need to be a doer. All righty. So one of the things, I'm doing a review here, a recap. But one of the things we said is every time you saw that word some, it means some of the same kind of seed. Remember that? Some of the same kind of seed. So whatever seed was thrown by the wayside was the same seed that was thrown on stony ground, was the same seed that was thrown on stones, or excuse me, what do we have next? Thorns. There we go. And the last one was on good soil. And it's interesting. If you were to stop and think about the wayside, the stony, and the thorns, if you did, that's as far as you thought, you know, read, you would have thought something's the matter with this seed, right? You would have thought something's the matter with the seed. Why? Because the seed was sown, but it didn't what? It didn't reproduce. There is nothing growing. There was nothing going. And if you were to stop there, you would have said, man, I got some bad seed this week, all right? But what happened is it was the moment you read that the seed was sown in good ground and it produced, you knew there's nothing the matter with that seed, right? That was good seed. Guys, the seed is good and the seed produces. Everybody say the seed is good and the seed is produces, okay? Now listen, we're talking, when I say seed, we're talking about the word. The word of God is seed. The word of God, guess what it'll do in your life? It'll produce. All right. So again, he talks later on about why it's not producing. And I'm not going to go through all that. He talks about having eyes to see, but they really don't perceive, having ears to hear, but they really don't understand. All right. He goes through that. And really, this whole parable is about revelation. A light of revelation knowledge, and not just any revelation. It's a light, a revelation of who Jesus is. This is the whole thing. Who Jesus is. That's the most important thing that's going on. And Jesus says to these disciples, blessed are you because you see, all right? Blessed are you because you hear. And he said, he also said that, hey, for hundreds of years, hundreds of generations, the prophets, the righteous men and women of old, they longed to see what you saw, or seeing rather, okay? And he said, you guys are blessed because you can see. But really, what are they blessed to see? Jesus. They were seeing Jesus, okay? So they were blessed because they saw Jesus, and not just the guy that was standing in the boat preaching, but there the veil had come off and they saw Jesus. And he said, you all are blessed. Everybody say, I'm blessed. I see Jesus. All right, picking up at Matthew 13, verse 18, it says, Jesus says, therefore, hear the parable of the sower. And you're like, what? I thought they all just heard this parable. I thought they heard it. No. They heard, but they didn't hear, right? They saw, but they didn't see. Okay, so verse 18. Therefore, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom or the word of God, okay, and does not understand it, what happens? The wicked one comes to snatch away what was sown in his heart. This is he who receives seed by the wayside. Okay. Last week we talked about this word understand, because he said anyone who hears the word, okay, and doesn't understand. And we said understanding means to grasp the meaning, to grasp the nature and the value of something, such as my favorite example. You may have great understanding of how engines work in a car. I don't. My car breaks down. I pull it over. I just am so audacious that I will open the hood and I'll look in there. I'll wiggle a few hoses. Okay, and I might even just check the windshield wiper fluid, okay? But really, I have no clue what's going on underneath that hood. Okay, but you may have understanding of the nature and the value of all that stuff that's underneath the hood, right? And that's why I call you, all right? But I have no understanding. I do not grasp anything underneath that hood, all right? And he's saying, hey, this is what happened. The same thing, the person that heard the word, they heard it, okay? But they heard the word preached, but they had no understanding. So shame, shame if you ever say, I don't understand what that pastor said. I don't understand what I read. I don't understand what are we doing for lunch. Shame, shame. Okay? We're not supposed to be like that. You're supposed to ask. God loves you asking. Everybody say ask. Ask. Okay, listen. And so when I don't, and listen, I'm forever asking. I'll read something and I'm like, man, I know there's more to that. I don't understand that. Lord, open my eyes. He loves that, okay? So let's be hungry to grasp the meaning, the nature, and then we value the Word of God. I don't know how many times, oh, I don't get that. I don't get what I read, you know. I just don't understand my Bible. I'm like, don't get discouraged. Go ask Him. And how about you get into some situations? I have been in some situations where I'm like, holy moly. I don't understand that. You know what you do? God, I need understanding. Okay? I need understanding. Open my eyes. Okay? So everybody say, I'm hungry to grasp understanding the Word. Amen. Okay. So lastly, we talked about, so we said understanding is to grasp the meaning, the nature, and the value. So that we spent a lot of time on the value. And we said we need to value the Word of God. We need to value it. We need to give it honor for its place. We need to honor it, all right? Such as I've got some situations going on in my life. Anybody have stuff going on in your life? Anybody have some symptoms going on in your life? Okay? And I am like, I need some answers. I need some answers. So somebody comes up to you maybe they come to church and they come up to you with their Bible open and they said, hey, you know, I was reading this scripture and God put you on my heart as I read that. And that was because I was so distracted with everything that's going on. I wasn't hearing God. Thank God. God loves you so much that He spoke to this person. And while they were reading their Bible, and they said, you need to go over to Miss Michelle and share this word with her. You know, that's how much God loves you. Okay. And that's when we go, oh, yeah, yeah. And you know what? Some people do, not us. They come like, God put this on my heart. I know what's going on. I want to share this with you. And they go, oh, yeah, I heard that. But, oh, yeah, I know that. But at the end of the sentence isn't good, you guys, right? But, okay. Now, there's a difference between the person that hears and knows. Okay? There is a big difference in one hears and knows, okay? So as long as the Word of God is just something you heard, but something that you heard, but, okay? Guess what it just said? It'll be taken away. Right? That's the scripture we just read. It'll be taken away. But listen, when you know, you've spent time in the Word, or maybe somebody came up and then you were like chewing on it. That's called meditating on it. And it's something you know. Anybody have times where you're like, I know this. Like the preacher's preaching, you have some symptoms and he's sharing about Jesus came to heal all. Jesus came to heal all. And you're like, oh my gosh, I see that. I'm going to value that. I am taking that instead of, yeah, I already know that. But nah, don't do that, okay? So we got to value. We have to value the Word of God. All right. Then we talked about, this is your review part. Then we talked about what happens when you don't value. What happens when you don't value the Word? Okay, Matthew 13:19 says, Jesus said, the wicked one comes to snatch it away. Right? What was sown in your heart. If you don't value it, you guys have an enemy and he will steal that word out of your heart. Okay. It's trying to get planted, but you're like, you're not valuing it. I'm going to take it away from you. Okay. So today you are hearing the Word preached. Okay. When you value it, it'll produce, but you don't value it. He said, it'll be stolen away. Okay. What happens when you have valuable things that are unprotected? You have valuable things that are unprotected. I'm going to leave them all on my front lawn tonight. I'm going to go to bed tonight. And I wake up tomorrow, there's a good chance they're not going to be on your front lawn, right? Yeah, I don't know what neighborhood you live in, but they might not be there. Why? You didn't protect what was valuable, all right? And Jesus says the Word of God is valuable. The Word of God is valuable. How about the Word of God is your answer? The Word of God is your way out, your way up, your way around. Everybody say the Word of God is it. So you got to grab hold of this Word of God. You got to grab hold. And when you grab hold of it, the seed will produce. Everybody say it will produce. Okay, so Jesus was talking about the sower sowed the word and he sowed it in all these ground. So here's our question. Why did it not produce in those first three grounds? Why was it not producing? Okay, we found out last week that the word of God has ability to change situations, lives, okay? We found out it does have the ability to change some things. So why didn't it produce? Well, how about we didn't understand it, all right? Why is it working? So this is our question I threw out. Why wasn't it working? Or better yet, why did it only work in one ground? Why did it only work in one ground? And, you just sit there and you go, well, I'm sure God was just tickle pink. It only worked for one guy. I'm sure he's just tickle pink that only 75% of his children are seeing the word produced in their lives. I'm sure God's just like, yeah, it's okay. That's cool. Only, 75% are not seeing it. Sorry. Wrong way. All righty. So it starts with a desire to have an understanding who God is, the character of God, and value the word. And you will see, he promises, not me, all right? He promises the word will produce, all right? So here's our question. Usually I have a main idea that's all uplifting, but this is my main idea question. Ready? For the whole time of the series. This is what you should ask yourself, all right? What's keeping the word from working in my life? It's a question you should ask, all right? What's keeping the word from producing in my life, all right? What's keeping me from receiving what the word said it's going to receive? And not only that, how about let's talk about how do we fix it? Anybody want to know how to fix it? Good. Part two, dirt. Everybody say dirt. Okay, we're doing stony ground. Ready? Stony ground, verse 20. Matthew 13, verse 20. Let me flip my page here. Ready? Here we go. But he who receives the seed or the word on stony places. Okay, so stony places, I had to look this up. Stony places to me was just a field full of rocks, just boulders. But that's not what it is. Guess what it is? It's actually a layer of dirt, that's very shallow. And underneath it are all these rocks. All right, so there is dirt, but under the surface are these rocks that you can't see. All right, so he says, but he who receives the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. All right, and yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation and persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Okay? So we got a guy here who's doing what? He's hearing the word. Praise God. He's hearing the word and immediately he has joy. Wah! Okay? He's reading his Bible or he's listening to a podcast or he's listening to Pastor D and he's like, wow, this is so good. I love this. Okay? Now, that's a good thing. That's really good. At least he's in, wow, I like this. So can you see the progression? The first guy didn't value the word and he didn't perceive what was in the word. This guy, wow, he hears the word and immediately, whoa, he receives it with joy. Whoa, amen, shout it out. Good preaching, Pastor D. Woohoo, this is awesome, all right? All of you that just never shout out, praise the Lord. Okay, why did this guy react that way? Well, number one, he perceived the potential of the word. He saw the potential that was in the seed, the word. He saw it, he valued it, he valued what was inside of it, and he sees, like, he's having a situation going on in his life, and he sees, oh, this is my answer. Yay! All right? Okay, you get excited. He received it. He received it with joy. All righty? Okay, verse 21. Yet he had no root in himself, but endured. He endured for a while. When tribulation and persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. All right. Mark chapter 4, Jesus says the same thing. Whenever there's tribulation and persecution, it was for the word's sake. The Word. Show me your Word, people. It's the Bible, okay? It's for the Word. And he says, that's what Satan's after. He's after the Word. He wants to rob the Word from you, okay? Okay, so when persecution and tribulation comes, immediately that guy stumbles and falls away, all righty? So what happened? Again, he heard, right? He heard it. Oh, excited. I receive it, okay? But he didn't have deep roots. He didn't have deep roots, so he endured for a little while. You know, the problems were coming, persecution, situation, stuff, okay? And it came because of the Word, and immediately he stumbled and he fell away. So let's look at what the problem is here. Let's look at the problem. Keep your finger in Matthew chapter 13. We're going to go back and forth there, but flip over to Hebrews chapter 10. Okay, flip over to Hebrews chapter 10, and let's look at the problem here. All right, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 32. The writer is writing to believers. Raise your hand if you believe Jesus is the Son of God and you've received him as Lord and Savior. So you could say he's writing to us. He's writing to us, he's writing to believers, and they are actually going through stuff, and they're getting a little discouraged. So the writer's writing to them, and he says this, but recall the former days in which after you were illuminated, all right? So he's like, you know what, y'all? I think you need to think back. Think back when you were illuminated. The word illuminated means to be enlightened, to make visible, to shed light, to brighten it up. So he's saying, hey, I think you need to think back when the light came on. All right, think back when the light came on. Last week we talked about that. We said that's what revelation is. Revelation is when the light comes on. You're reading your Bible, you've read this thing over and over and over, and the light came on and it's just revealed. You're like, oh, I see it, okay? So question. What does light do? Does light create or does light reveal? Okay, don't call out the answer yet. Nope, don't give it away. I'm going up in my attic. Okay, it's dark up there. I'm looking for something. Whoa. I'm bouncing around here. Help me out. Okay. Oh, I was jumping around. It popped off. Okay, sorry, Beth.
Talk amongst yourselves.
All right. Okay, I think I'm taped in here. Wow. Okay. All right, we'll see how far we go. Okay, where are we? We're in our story. I'm holding on. Okay, we're going up the stairs and we're in the dark. Okay, I'm looking for something. I'm looking for my Christmas decorations. I'm looking for that box with those Christmas decorations, and I turn on the light. Did the light create the Christmas decoration box? No. What did the light do? It revealed where it already was. Chew on that. Think on that. The light revealed what was already there. Okay? All right? So that's what light does. It shows you what's already there. Okay? So when the light of revelation comes inside of you, okay, it's like, I see, I know, I understand, I see, I got it. All righty? So back to that verse. But recall the former days in which after you were illuminated, so he's saying, hit the rewind button. Okay, now again, these guys are the people that he's writing this to, they're having some tough days. And he said, you need to hit the rewind button and remember when the light came on. How about when the light came on and you saw Jesus? You received Jesus. How about when the light came on when you knew God was good? And how about the light came on and you knew that he talks to me? I know. I remember the day the light came on and I thought, that was God talking to me. The light came on. Okay, how about the day the light came on when you knew God was good? All right? How about, okay, so you start seeing some things, all right, in the Word of God, and guess what you want to do? You want to go tell somebody. So you go, hey, look what I read here today. Listen. Wow, listen to it, all right? And the person that you say that to says, oh, yeah, I know that. Whatever. That's none of y'all, all right? Whatever. Okay, the guy who had it illuminated went running up. He had light, right? It was light in him. That other guy, I think he's a little in darkness, right? Okay. And listen, we use words like that. Like when something makes sense, we go, oh, I see that, right? Do you ever say that? I see that. Or when I'm totally lost, I'm like, I'm in the dark on that. Could you tell me that again? Anybody ever say that? Just me. All right. So here we go. But recall the former days in which, after you were illuminated, when the light came on, you endured. Everybody say endured. All righty. Now, back in Matthew chapter 13, the stony ground, what did Jesus say? He said the problem was they received the word immediately with joy, but they didn't have any root, so they endured for a short while. All righty? All right. Okay, back to Hebrews, okay? You endured. Then he's going to go talk about what they endured. Here we go. You endured a great struggle and suffering, partly while you were made a spectacle, both by reproach and tribulation. Remember we said what happens? The tribulation and persecution is all about the word's sake. It's all about to steal the word. That's what it's there for, all right? So he's saying, hey, you endured for a while, okay, and then you ran into these things, and let's finish reading. Well, let's read back again. 33, partly while you were made a spectacle, both reproaches and tribulation, and partly while you became companions of those who were so treated. So what he's saying is, you had all this persecution going on, and your friends had all this persecution going on, and sometimes I wasn't going through it, you were going through it, and I had this compassion for you. Have you ever been had a friend and they were going through some really tough times and you just had compassion, like you felt the way they felt, because you'd been through that. You felt the way they felt. Anybody ever do that? Yeah, you feel. So that's what he's talking about. Alrighty. So he says, verse 34, for you had compassion on me and my chains and joyfully. All right. What did, back to Matthew, the stony ground, what did they say? He heard the word and he did what? Received it joyfully. See a connection going on here? Joyfully, all righty? So how did he receive the word? Joyfully, all righty? So joyfully, let's go finish on, and joyfully endured possessions for yourselves in heaven. Oh, sorry, I goofed up. Where am I? Joyfully accepted the plundering of your goods. Maybe I'm just saying where I am spiritually, but someone comes and plunders my goods, I'm not quite there on joyful. Somebody comes to your house and steals you blind, I'm not quite there on, the joyful thing. All right? Anybody else? You're already there. Oh. Okay, you can be the preacher here. All right? But, you know, people take everything that you value, and he says, and you did it joyfully? All right? All right, and you joyfully accepted the plundering of your goods, knowing. Everybody say knowing. This is it. Knowing, okay? How on earth are you joyful when you're going through stuff and tribulation and stuff and problems? How on earth are you joyful? Knowing. 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 Okay? Knowing, here we go. Knowing that you have a better and enduring possession for yourselves in heaven. Therefore, don't cast away your confidence, which has great reward, for you have need of endurance. I'm going to stop there. All righty? All right. So in Matthew 13, the guy on the stony ground, he said they received the word, okay, but they didn't have any roots. They didn't have any roots, so they didn't endure, okay, and he stumbled and fell away. And this author here says, you have need of endurance, okay? Anytime the Bible says you need something, guess what? You need something, all right? So what does he say we need? You need endurance. What do you and I need? Endurance, okay? We all have to have endurance. Okay, again, he's talking to people. And listen, I am not downplaying what's going on in your life and situations and any of that. I'm not downplaying. But these guys that he was writing this to, they were being persecuted so bad. If I found out you were a believer, I'd drag you out of your house, throw you into the arena, stake you down, and have the lions maul you to death. Well, it's a little bit of tribulation and persecution and bad stuff, okay? They'd also stake you down and light you on fire, all right? Okay, they were having some persecution going on, all right? And this is what the author says. Hey, you guys that are having this, you need to look back, okay? Look back to when the light came on and you had joy because you knew something. Look back to when the light went on in your life and you had joy because you knew something, okay? What did you know? No, knew. What did you know? I knew something, all right? I knew something. So they knew something. They knew something was coming. They knew, even though they had nice stuff stolen, it was nothing compared to Jesus, right? They knew something. They knew something. And he says, don't throw away your confidence. All right? You need endurance. You need endurance, okay? Now, when I think of that verse, and I think about 90% of the people that come into my office, Pastor D, I've got to talk to you. And people come in and they're like, I want an answer now. I want this fixed now. I want this problem fixed now. And I want to say, you all need endurance, right? You don't always get now. I like now. Okay? You can go to the Mac machine and get it now. But basically, stuff in life is not now. You need endurance. Okay? Now, I'm going to talk about endurance. So turn over to the next book in the Bible. It's the book of James. James chapter 1. We're going to talk a little bit about that. Praise God. James chapter 1. Talking about endurance. You need endurance. James chapter 1, starting verse 2. My brethren, he's talking to you all. He's talking to believers, brethren, brothers and sisters who have received Jesus. So my brethren, count it all what? Count it all what? Really? Count it all joy, all right? Now, listen what he says. I'm like, you know, so there are certain pages in the Bible I really wanted to rip out. This was one of them. But it is the Word of God, and I'm going to get it, all right? Count it all. I was like, don't touch it. It's the Word of God. Here you go. Count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Okay, that word various means just random. Like, out of the blue, random stuff is just trials. It's just smashing you. Just all sorts of crazy things. You have no idea where they're coming. Just random stuff. It's sort of like Satan called a staff meeting and you were on his agenda. And all this stuff is hitting you here and there and here. Okay. And it also, that random of various trials talks about being surrounded. Anybody ever have one of those weeks, months, days, years? Shoo, okay? You have fallen into various trials. Now, how does he want us to go through that? I hate saying that word. Joy, right? Really? I want you to go through that with joy. Count it all joy. Consider it. Think about it. How about renew your mind to that? All right? Count it all joy. So how on earth am I going to go through that? Keep reading. Verse 3. Knowing. Oh, that's that word knowing. 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 Okay? Where does your joy come from? Knowing something. Knowing. Okay? Knowing. Knowing. And it's... when I know and I have an expectation. Hope is having an expectation, okay? It's not like the world, I was just wishing and a hope. And that's not the Bible. The Bible is hope is an earnest, red-hot expectation. Like you're just stretching to go, okay? Okay, so he's saying, you know something. So if I'm going to have joy, I know something. I know something good is coming. Everybody say something good's coming. It's on its way, okay? Now, kind of tipping back on last week, okay? How do I know, all right? Because I know the giver. I know his character. I know his ways. And if I know him, I know the gift that's coming is good. Everybody say it's good. Okay, listen. All right. So you got to know something and you'll have joy. All right. You'll have joy. All right. And that is how you get through trials. Okay. That is how you have endurance. Praise God. All right. So Jesus said, hey, you know, the word's not working in that guy's life because he could not, better yet, it's not producing. It's not working because he didn't have any endurance. All right. So you have just gone through the 18-week course by on Marriage on the Rock. Okay, you have just heard Marriage on the Rock, all right? That was just amazing. How many went through that? Marriage on the Rock, so good. Jimmy Evans, right? Wow, all right? Yeah, okay, you have just heard that word. You have just heard the word on 16 steps to receive your healing. You have just heard the word for salvation, for deliverance, for everything that God has. You have just heard the word. But because it didn't happen right away, what? That meant you didn't receive it with joy. Your roots weren't deep. Y'all just didn't endure over on the side, all righty? So how do you endure? This is the good part. How do you endure? How do you endure? Okay, it comes by knowing something good is coming. Everybody say, something good is coming, okay? Verse 3, how do we know? All right, here we go. Verse 3, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. A lot of translations, you'll see, instead of patience, you'll see the word endurance or steadfastness. Anybody see that in some of your translations? Okay. So he says, we know that the testing of our faith produces endurance. We can say that. Okay. Now, the testing of your faith will produce endurance or faith, patience. Backup, super important. Okay. It's the flashing light. God is not testing you. Everybody say, God is not testing you. If you read verse just down a little bit, in verse 13, it says, God doesn't test you with bad things, all right? Think about it. Some days I just crack myself up. I'm going, God's not testing me. He knows everything. He knows me. He doesn't need to test me. He already knows, okay? But listen to this. You know who wants to test you? To steal the word? Satan wants to know your faith in Christ. Satan's the one who's really coming after you to steal the word, all right? So he wants to know, he wants to disprove your faith in Jesus. Who Jesus is, what he did on the cross, what happened when he sat down and he's finished. He wants to disprove all of that, okay? But you know what you should be doing? Okay, I'm holding on so I don't drop this again. You should be jumping up and down and say, this is an opportunity for the God that I know to show himself mighty on my behalf. So I'm tickled pink, okay? Sort of. Alrighty. Alrighty. So, we need to know that there's something coming, all right? We need to know that something coming. Verse 4, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect, complete, and lacking nothing. All right, close your eyes for a second. Just conjure up a little joy. Come on, just close your eyes. A little joy going on here. Okay, just pretend you're surrounded by trials and these terrible things and situations and oh my gosh, various, okay? And you start seeing yourself perfect, what did it say? Complete and lacking nothing, all right? Okay, that's the image you need to have on the inside. I see God on the inside of me. I know he's on the inside of me. And he has made me perfect. And he is going to just make everything complete. All right? So that's the image you need to have. So the thing that you're going through, the stuff, all right? You got to go, this is an opportunity for my God to demonstrate how big he is and his promises he are. And I got to do this week. So Monday I was painting my powder room. Back in the day we called it powder room. Y'all call it half bath, whatever. Okay? And I was painting it. It took me forever to paint this thing. And I was so good on the trim. I mean, it's the best time I ever did on trim because I got a little eyebrow pencil eyebrow paintbrush, and I could get in those little corners. I was just so proud of myself. This place is just beautiful. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. And I'm cleaning up all my messes on the floor because, you know, I didn't put the drop cloth. And it's time to rehang the mirror. Okay, so I lift that thing up, and it's one of those, they've got on the top brackets that are like that. On the bottom, it's got brackets like that. So you're supposed to slide it up, and it pushes it up and slides down. So I'm lifting this thing up. It's a little heavy. Oh, oops, oops, oop, boop. Not a big boop. And I'm like, okay, well, I'll do it again. I look down, and that thing has chipped, cracked, and gone all over the place. And I said, are you kidding me? And then I said, this is an opportunity for my God to show himself mighty on my behalf. Besides, I didn't like that mirror anyway. Duh. All right. That's an attitude change. Now, that's not always how my attitude would have been. I probably would have said a few things, okay? Now, back to that. Back to this. Okay, so guess what else Satan wants to rob the word from you. That is it. He wants to rob who Jesus is and the word from you, okay? But he also wants, when you're going through these things, he wants you to quit. He wants you to quit. He wants you to quit on him, quit on the word, okay? And everybody say, I refuse to quit. I refuse to quit, okay? Can you just imagine coming into church and say, oh, What's your gift? Oh, you're a musician. Hallelujah. Very good. What's your gift? Oh, I'm gifted to give to children's. Oh, I'm gifted to quit. I have anointed to quit. No, there's nowhere in my Bible that says that. We are not quitters, okay? He wants to keep you, he wants to just mess you up to get you to quit, all right? Quit in understanding who God is and believing that he's, gosh, he's awesome. Okay, turn over to Psalms. Let me get before I can do this. Yes, yes. Psalms 27, verse 13. Psalms 27, verse 13. What keeps us from quitting? I come after you, that's what. Some of you, I come after you. You go, yes, she has, okay? But there's more to that. Psalm 27, verse 13. This is King David. I love David. I'm his namesake. My real name is Davida. Uh-huh. But I love David because he is Joe human. All right. So I feel like, hey, okay, he was bad. He was getting good. All right. So this is why I like him. But listen to what he says. Psalm 27, verse 13. I would have lost heart. Some translation says faint it. Better yet, quit. I would have quit unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of God in the land of the living. All right. Where's the land of the living? Here. When is the land of the living? Right now. We're on the other side of the New Testament. It's now, you guys. And David says, I would have quit. I would have given up. I would have just been exhausted. I would have given up unless, okay? Now, if his attitude was, oh, I would have lost, losing heart. I would have just gotten and just given up. No, he says, I would have done that unless, okay, unless I knew the Lord would sustain me. Okay. That's the character of God. That's who he is. All right. Unless the Lord would just strengthen me. That's what he does. Strengthens you on the inside. All right. So I would have quit unless. And that's the one time you can do that word, unless. Okay. Unless. All right. Unless. All righty. So I would have quit, but I kept going because I knew the Lord would sustain me. He would strengthen me. Guys, that's what endurance is. Now, let me just push you over the edge to y'all scream. Ready? Endurance isn't, I made it. Okay? That's not endurance. Endurance is you finish strong. All right? You finish strong. And you do that because I know the giver. I know the gifts. I'm just going to keep going and going and going and going and going. Okay, so we keep going and going and going, all right? So back to Hebrews chapter 10. It says, you have need of this. Don't throw away your confidence. You have need of endurance. And endurance keeps you going, keeps you going, keeps you going, keeps you going, okay? Why? Because that's when the word of God will produce in your life. You know that seed? That's when the word of God will produce in your life, okay? So why isn't it producing? Why wasn't it producing? I mean, they heard. Why wasn't the word producing that they had heard, all right? They quit. They gave up, okay? And David says, now listen, David did not say this. I would have lost heart unless I saw. Go back and read that. He said, I would have lost heart unless I believed that I'd see the land of the living. All right? So guys, it starts with knowing. We got to know what the word says. And when you know what the word says, it doesn't matter what natural things are going on, okay? I believe this word, therefore I can see. But I believe. And if you get this backwards, okay, it's not working. I'm going to believe when I see it. I'm believing when I see it. No. I believe. And I will see the land of the living. Praise God, praise God. Okay, back to Matthew 13. We're going to wrap this up. Here we go. Matthew 13, verse 20. Here we go. But he who receives the seed, the word, on stony ground, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Okay? Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. Okay? Endurance is connected to roots. No root, no endurance. No endurance, no word producing. The word won't work, okay? It won't produce. But listen, the word has the potential, right? Nothing matter with the seed. The word works, okay? But if you don't have the root and the endurance, it will not produce, all righty? So why wasn't the seed producing? He didn't have any root. Okay, one more scripture. Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. This is the key. Bingo! Here we go. This is the Apostle Paul. The Ephesians, he has a bunch of prayers. They're awesome. And he said he prays them for so-and-so, so-and-so. Just put your name in there and pray it for yourself, okay? Be greedy. Pray it for yourself. This is one of those. I pray that Christ will be more and more at home in your hearts, living within you as you trust him. Here we go. And may your what? Roots go deep into the soil of God's marvelous love, and may you be able to feel and understand, as all of God's children should, how long, how wide, how deep, how high his love really is, and to experience this love for yourselves. Guys, this is the key to unlock the word of God. Real simple. You have to know God is love. You have to know God is love. That is who he is. Real simple, right? God is love. God is love. And you have to know how much he loves and how much he loves you. Until you know that, the word, you'll be rocking and reeling and not in a good place with the word, which has the ability to produce in your life, okay? And there's all sorts of, not this church, well, you know, God did this, caused this, what happened down in New Orleans? What was that, a tornado, hurricanes, whatever? You know, that was God's judgment. And then the other bunch of people, Christians, going, God is so good, and he just does all that. There's such goofy things going on, but that's because you don't know that God is love, all right? God is love. He's not schizophrenic. He is love, okay? So don't be talked out of his love. Don't quit on his love. God is love, okay? And the word will reproduce in your life when you know how much God loves you. it will. That's the big cornerstone, all right? Close your eyes, bow your heads, get the coffee on. Here we go. Father, I thank you. Lord, I've done my best to get this word out. And I declare that we have eyes to see what has prevented us from producing, to seeing what should be produced in our life. So today we say, I have eyes to see. I thank you, Father, that we are not quitters on your word. We know your goodness. We know your character. Therefore, we have endurance and we will see the land of the living. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. Hey, stand up. Praise God. $1 million question for last week and this week. You get to ask yourselves, why isn't the word producing in my life? I gave you a bunch of answers. Well, the word gave you a bunch of answers. And just start making those adjustments in your life. It's real easy. It's real easy, okay? So, Father, I thank you for these people. I thank you that they are blessed. Because we see Jesus. And I thank you we are blessed coming in this place because we've seen and valued the word. And I thank you we are blessed going out. I thank you, Father, that as we come to understand, Father, we are givers of life wherever we go of the words that you share to us and through us. In Jesus' name, amen. You have a wonderful week. If you need some prayer, I'd love to pray with you. If not, go outside. Have a beautiful weather, beautiful day. Amen. Jumping down here.